When I think of, here's something I want to start with. When you think of the world's most famous mother, okay, hold on the count of three, I want you to yell it out, scream it out, just talk it out, and I'm going to have it in my hand because I'm like, the world's, of in all history, the world's most famous mother is, oh, look, look what I did. I'm pretty smart. Give me some encouragement for just knowing the right answer. All right, I thought it was going to be more. Now, this one's going to throw you just a little bit because, you know, I'm going to have all kinds of little tricks up my sleeve. But the second most famous mother of all time, on the count of three, is... All right, name her. On the count of three, the second greatest mother of all time is... Amen. Say amen. This is mine. My mother was named Catherine. How do I know? I have a birth certificate that says that. Let's see what happens. There she is with my dad. There's my mom right there. That's why she was 12 years old in elementary school. That's an old picture. Oh, she loved to play Santa Claus at Christmas. Oh, she loved to dress up. Look at that. She's going like, hey, I'm Santa Claus. So she loved Christmas, and I loved it too. Look, she dated all her photographs. 1972. She dated everything. Not dated it today. All my stuff. Oh, my. That's my dad in his uniform, Lieutenant Colonel. He was not a Lieutenant Colonel at that time. She was about 16 years old. And he's whispering something in her ear that I wish I knew what it was. But I'm like, you're going to have to come up with something better than that, I think. Look at her face. Like, huh, you talking to me? I'm wearing a bracelet that my mother gave my dad when they got married in their engagement. This is her bracelet that you gave my father. And that's a great picture, isn't it? And I'm not going to bore you. That's my mother and her mother, Alice, on the back. So you got two generations there. Wow. Guess who that is? Nothing's changed over 57 years. I still got a big head, and I've got a pretty nice smile. That's a 57-year-old, almost 56-year-old picture. Let's see what we got. She loved to play the organ. How many of you play an instrument? She loved to play. I could just hear it now. She just loved to play. She could wear a beehive, couldn't she? I mean, you're talking about dressing up. Mom, you're dressing good. Got the look, beehive look. 1950. She dates all her pictures. She taught me how to date all mine because, you know, when you get old and you say, hey, you know, what year was that? She loved Christmas. But I'm a Bible student, too, and somebody asked me, what are you going to speak about? Well, I'm going to talk about my mom. And if I cry a little bit, will y'all forgive me? I brought hankies. I brought my own personal hanky. But I wanted to talk a little bit about mothers in the Bible. What is a characteristic you think of when you think of what a Christian godly mother is? Anybody? Love. What else? Caring. Forgiving. Nurturing. That's on my list. Anybody else? Patience. Well, Lord, hurry up, Lord. I need some more patience. But the Christian Bible, here's a couple things I wrote down that kind of reflect what my mother characteristics were. And availability. Isn't that a cool one? Your mother's got to be available to you. And how I know that? Morning, noon, and night. Deuteronomy 6:7 says, repeat the commandments to your children. When? Again and again. Talk about them. When? When you're at home. When? When you're away. When? When you're resting. When? When you're getting up. Turn to your neighbor and say, that's all the time. My mother was available to me. She made time to be available to me when she was doing other things. And I think about a godly mother that's available to their children. Now, when I mention some of these characteristics, maybe you as a mother need a little more of this or a little more of that. You know what I say to people that want to improve their life and become more godly and more like Christ? It ain't never too late to start over or start again. So some of these things I need to work on, you need to work on. And my mother, guess what? She wasn't perfect. She admitted her flaws and her shortcomings. And we're going to talk about my relationship with her in a minute. What's another characteristic of a mother? Discipline. Well, I got that. Look at that. Ooh, I got that on my list. Watch this. Discipline. How do I know that? The Bible says it. Teaching the fear of the Lord. Drawing the line consistently. Did your mother draw the line when you were growing up? Teach you right from wrong? Oh, mine did. For me, it was always yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. And one time I said yeah, it was the last time I said yeah. It was my mom made sure that I wasn't going to say yeah. Oh, my dad, no way. Yes, sir, no, sir. But the Bible says in Proverbs 13:24, if you refuse to discipline your children, it really shows that you really don't care about them that much. Now, don't throw stones at me. I didn't write the Bible. God wrote the Bible. So make sure you do it in a godly way according to the Bible. Discipline your children according to God's word. What's the other one I put down? Involvement. She was involved with my life. My mom was at my baseball games, and I could hear today. I'm sitting up there striking out or making a bad play out in the outfield, but she would always have that involvement. Go, Ross, you can do it. She always encouraged me when I needed encouragement the most. She was my biggest fan. And all through the shouting in the stands and in my little league baseball games, guess whose voice I heard? My mom. She was involved in my life. Ephesians 6:4 says, interacting, discussing, thinking, and processing life together. Yes, me and my mother did that. We did it most of the time. And Ephesians 6:4 says, don't make your children angry by the way you treat them. What does that say to you? That you can, as a mother or a father, provoke your children into becoming angry with what you do. So as a mother and a father, you have to be real careful not to provoke your children when you're involved with them and interacting with them. Raise them with the discipline and instruction approved by the Lord. Do you believe that the Bible is true? God's word is inerrant. What other thing the mother should do is teach. Did your mother teach you stuff? What did she teach you? Bible? How to act? What else? The scriptures and the biblical worldview. Psalm 78:5-6 says, God gave his decree to Jacob. What? To teach God's word to your children and to their children. And their children not born yet. Wait a minute, how do you do that? Oh, anyway. And in turn, they will teach the word to their children. So when you teach your children the word, they teach their children the word, and the children not born are going to have their word teach to them, and the world would be more of a godly place, wouldn't it? And that's just from the Bible. Training. How many of you have training from your mom? What did she train you to do? Well, she trained me how to act right, and sometimes I don't act right. She trained me, she used to say, where are you going with that suit? I said, well, Mom, I'm going to take it to the cleaners. She said, well, is it dirty? I said, well, I don't think so. She said, does it stink? I said, I don't think so. She said, why are you taking it to the cleaners then? I said, well, you know, I wore it. She said, so? She said, do you know dry cleaning will age your clothes? I go, no. She said, now you know, just steam press it, put it in the closet, and make it last a lot longer. She trained me to say, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. She trained me to shake somebody's hand and look at them in the eyeball and say, it's nice to meet you. It's nice to meet you. Those things we take for granted today, because I see young children just doing whatever they want to, and it's proper to go ahead and do an introduction. She taught me, Proverbs 22:6 says, teach your children to walk down the right path. Turn to your neighbor and say, the right path is the good path. And when they get older, they may stay on it. You know what? Sometimes I've gone down the wrong path. How many of you have gone down the wrong path? Some honest people over here. These people are not really honest over here. We all have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. We're all like sheep and have gone astray. Each one has turned to their own ways. You know, I get really exhausted meeting people that think they're a good person when the Bible says they're not. You know, when I witness to people, I try to make Jesus make sense to the one that says they're a good person, because the Bible said there's no one good, not even one. Only Jesus Christ was perfect. So when I say, have you, as a good person, have you ever lied or stolen? Well, yeah, a couple times. Well, what would that make you? Well, it wouldn't make me a liar or a thief. Well, what would it make you? How many lies do you have to tell to be a liar? 100 and a light goes off on your forehead? Liar, 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 liar. The Bible says all liars will perish and all thieves will perish too. That's why Jesus died, to save us from our sins. So when I talk to people, I try to make Jesus make sense. You know, if I wouldn't go to my doctor and he'd walk in for the first time and he says, Ross, you need an operation. Doctor, what do you mean? I mean, have you been drinking? I don't know. Operation for what? And then he takes a blood sample or an x-ray, and then the x-ray or the blood sample makes sense that I need an operation. So when we talk about Jesus to people, let's tell them why he died and how they can become a Christian. Always do that. Try to do that too. Nurturing. Who said nurturing over here? Somebody said nurturing. I have a picture. It may not be up here, but looks like my mom winning awards. That's a Greek family now. That's 100% Greek. My dad was 100% Greek. He's on the front row to the right. I don't know who that woman is that he's sitting next to, but the one on his right, he's got his hand over my mother. That's an old Greek. Those some Greek folks there. That's her in the museum at Texas. She always volunteered. She has the gift of organization. Is that a dress or is that a dress? Wow. How do you keep from tripping over that? Now, I'm not picking my nose there. It looks like it a little bit, but I'm just scratching it, and she's laughing at me for some reason. She was my biggest fan. She laughed at all my jokes. Does your mother do that too? My mom just laughed at me when I wasn't even funny, but she was my biggest fan. I made her laugh somehow. I don't know what I was doing. I was like, Mom, is that all you got me or something? And she's just smiling. Wow, she's in the middle there. Wow. You know, she was a pretty person, but the Bible says that charm is deceptive and beauty does not last, but the woman who fears the Lord will be greatly praised. She was beautiful on the inside, and that's all that matters. And she would be so proud of me. If she was in the congregation today, she would just be going like, wow, I can't believe how far my son has come since I knew him when he was an adolescent. Oh, I don't know how that got in. That's a report card. Anyway, Mom, sorry about that. That's me helping her out in the Christmas tree. Wow. Look at these pictures I scanned. She would be so proud. In fact, she would be a Facebook person. How many of you are Facebook people? Look me up on Facebook. She would probably call me up if she was alive. She's been gone about 15 years. And she would probably say, like, Ross, you haven't posted anything about me on Facebook. She would want to be posted on Facebook, I promise you. So she would be, Mom, don't slip. Don't get too high. But I didn't want to bore y'all with, you know, the album. You go over to somebody's house and they say, would you like to see my photo album? And it's this thick. And they turn the pages real slow. And you try to be really nice. You're going, okay, that's good. Yeah, okay, that's good. So I just wanted to bring some of the highlights. Did y'all enjoy that photograph slide? Come on, give me some encouragement for that. Nurturing a mother, providing an environment of constant verbal support. Don't we know that there's enough discouragement in this world? Have you ever been discouraged before by people? And the words can be very discouraging. And when I die, I hope my tomb said he was a minister of encouragement, even though I haven't done the right thing all the time. And I want to be a minister of encouragement. I want to speak words of life, Proverbs says. And so she was that to me. She gave me verbal support. Here's something on the nurturing thing. She gave me freedom to fail. You don't want to put a safety net all the time up. Sometimes you got to let your children just go through the mud. My brother, Dean, he said, did you know that mother took out a life insurance policy on you when you were running wild? Can you imagine me running wild? Huh? I hadn't always been a Christian. And when I was zealous for the world and doing worldly things and feeding the flesh, and that was my goal, you know what? I was real good at it. I sure was. Hopefully my zeal for God is much stronger than my zeal for the world and worldly things. But you know, every now and again, I slip up too. How many of you slip up every now and again? Am I the only one? Oh, thank goodness. Y'all didn't leave me stranded with that. But I want to do the right thing. And my brothers told me, I talked to him about my mom, and he said, man, she would be real proud of you. And I said, I'm talking about her a little bit, plus what the Bible says about mothers. She said, did you know when you were really going wild back when I was 25? She said, she was so worried about you that she took out a life insurance policy on you. And I went, my goodness gracious, really? He said, yeah, she was concerned about you. She thought that one day, one night in the middle of the night somewhere, she'd get that phone call. And I knew that, you know, that I was a player and I ran, you know, ran around, didn't come home at night, did all those things. But I didn't know she went to that extent. And I said, well, she loved me, she cared for me, but she was sensible and tangible about it too. Because it was a real possibility. If I had kept going down the path I was going, I would have surely ended up in the grave and in hell. But God gave me a godly mother that prayed for me. And I know I put tears on her pillow. Bless her soul. I know that she's cried for me. I know she saturated her pillowcase with tears worrying about me. And so later on, we became friends toward the end of her life, and we reconciled. But when he told me that, I said, my. And then the last thing is modeling of integrity. How many of you know integrity is important? Integrity? Turn to your neighbor and say integrity. When you think of integrity, what do you think of? No wrong answer. I won't stump you. I won't embarrass you. Integrity. What is integrity? Whoa. That's a good one. Do the right thing when nobody's looking. Anybody else? Nice. Inside and the outside match. Practice what you preach, man. Well, I don't know. I can preach it, but do I need to practice it? Yeah, yes, you do. Do the best you can. Always my motto, you've probably seen it on Facebook. Do what you can, where you can, when you can, the best you can, but do something. And if you're not where you need to be with the Lord, keep on keeping on. She modeled a life of integrity. The Bible says in Proverbs 10:9, living what you say. Being a model from which a child can learn by, in essence, catching godly living. Maybe you're not a Christian yet, but if you're around Christians and your mother is a godly mother, you can see what a godly life's about as an example. There's one thing preaching to somebody or witnessing to somebody. I hand out thousands of tracts a year, and I witness to hundreds of people a year. I intentionally evangelize people. But you've got to live out your life. And you know, I'm not perfect. I have broken, confession time, I have broken the fifth commandment 500 times. What is the fifth commandment? Honor your father and your mother. I have broken it so many times. I was witnessing someone, I said, well, have you, you keep the commandments? Yeah, most of them. Which one do you keep? Do not murder. I ain't never killed nobody. I said, well, Jesus said, if you hate somebody in your mind, you committed murder with that person in your heart. Now, let me re-ask the question. According to Jesus, his perfect standard, have you ever committed murder? Yes. That's why you need Jesus, because the Bible says you're a murderer. See, that's biblical stuff, but you got to present it. You got to present it real simply. The fifth commandment is the first commandment with a what? Woo! I love promises. Promises God will never break. He can never break his promise. What is the promise about keeping the fifth commandment? That you'll live a successful life, not free from problems. Turn to your neighbor and say, I got a lot of problems. See, I think I got more as a Christian than I did as a non-Christian. You know why? I'm accountable. I'm accountable. The Word of God keeps me accountable. I can't run wild like a wild man anymore. Even though some of my old flesh, you know, that part of me that's unredeemed, I'm perfect in the sight of God because of my faith in Christ. But it's that part of me, the unredeemed self, that says, hey, you know, you're going to heaven. It's just, you know, you got a ticket to heaven, so it's all right for this time. That's the lie of the devil, isn't it? And he comes knocking at your door. or my door, maybe not your door, maybe you don't have a door. But when you look through the peephole, he's not dressed in a red and has pitchfork and horns on it. Are you with me? The Bible said he's an angel of light. So don't be deceived by him. I break the fifth commandment a million times. And you know what? She's forgiven me. God has forgiven me first. What good is your mother forgiving you for all the sins you committed and then you die and go to hell for eternity? See, it's not just enough to clean up your life. I got people that I know, they're going like, well, I don't drink no more. I don't cuss no more. I don't commit adultery no more. I don't do this no more. I'm saying, man, you're wearing me out with your good works. Okay. You're a good person. So, you should be doing good. But guess what? Revelation! For by grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is a gift from God, not of good works, lest anyone should say, I am a really, really good person. Look at me. I guarantee you I do good works all the time. I believe that you should do good works. You should serve God in any capacity. Use your spiritual gifts, but you can't get to heaven by being a good person. So I just try to make people understand, hey, if you could get to heaven by being a good person, and Jesus Christ, perfect Son of God, Son of Man, Son of David, died on the cross, a humiliating death, and you say you're better than that, you may stand before God one day and experience the wrath of God. And you know what? Here's the heart of God, y'all. God doesn't want any to perish. It's God's will that all people go to heaven. My question is, an evangelist always asks this question, if that's the case, and it is because God's word says it, why are so many people going to hell? The Bible answers the question, because they love their what? Sin. S-I-N. Turn to your neighbor and say, S-I-N. Matthew 1:21, Jesus came to save us from our sin. I know some of the most godly people in this church. Most godly people that I have met. When the first day I came to this church, I felt like I was at home. Have you ever felt that way? I said, my word, these people are just, they were kind of staring at me funny though. Like, who dresses like that? Nobody dresses like that around here. Where are you from? But they made me feel welcome. They came up and made me feel welcome. And ever since then, I never got anywhere else. I never went anywhere else. I said, Lord, where do you want me to be? He said, just keep on going. Just keep on going. And then I would hear the word preached by Dr. Goins and the praise and worship and the service opportunities they have in this church. And I keep getting blessed and blessed and blessed and blessed. And I said, I'm just at home here. It's a family church. The people pray for me. They love me in spite of my flaws and my shortcomings. And I have a lot of them. Excuse me. But they love me for who I am. That's what I love about this church. So turn to your neighbor and say, I love you for just who you are. And I'm going to close because I want to be invited back to preach. This is an amazing thing now. This is a true thing. I'm not making this up. Well, I haven't made anything up, but I did a word search on my sister, Debbie. She's 62-ish. But Debbie, I didn't say that if you hear this CD. Oh, man. I did a word search on the email. Guess what I came up with? 2004 email. This is what she said. This is my sister's now. This is not, I didn't write this. It's an email from my sister, Debbie, 2004. Good morning, Preacher Ross. I just finished listening to your sermon CD, and truly God has blessed you with the gift to preach. I understand the lesson well, and you presented it perfectly. I did, however, hear a little bit of Bible thumping, didn't I? How diplomatic my sister was. She heard me going like, you better repent or you're going to perish. That's Bible thumping. She heard a little bit. That was 2004. I mean, hopefully I've settled down a little bit. But she heard that Bible thumping, didn't I? Boy, this is my mom, Mother's Day. She said, boy, would mother... She said, boy, would mother be proud of you? She never quit praying for you. I'm so happy for you, and I know you have many good Christian friends that surround you daily and keep you on the right track. Come see me soon. Love, Debbie. 2004. That's 12 years ago. Nothing's changed. Yeah, I know. It gives me goosebumps. My mom and I, we separated when I was 15 years old. She had a traumatic experience with her husband at the time. He died suddenly. And she was going through that. She was going through menopause. And I was going through adolescence. Not a good combination. Tough. Being 15, mom going through menopause, trying to recover from a tragic death of her husband. And so she didn't know what to do at the time. I was out in Texas, and she didn't know what to do. She was having all this trouble. The only thing she knew to do is send me back to my daddy in Augusta. You're going home to see your father. I go, oh, okay. So I get on a plane and go to Augusta. I lived with my father for a couple of years, and I wanted to be with my mom, but she was going through that. And she did the best she could at that time. And I didn't understand it. I was adolescent. I'm going through boyhood, childhood, manhood, I don't know hood. I was going through that traumatic experience too. And I lived on my own. I worked. I quit high school. I had money in my pocket. I had my own car. I was somebody working in a transmission shop. And I was going nowhere fast. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been down that trail, nowhere fast? I could go nowhere fast, probably. I was the best at going nowhere fast. Real fast. And I was tired. And all of a sudden, I just picked up the phone. I remember the day I dialed and I called her in Texas. I said, Mom. She said, what is it, sweetheart? I said, I want to come home. I said, Mother, I want to come home. She was in Texas. And you know the first words out of her mouth were, I'm coming to get you. After being separated for 3 years, she had gotten her life in order. She had met a man that loved her. She got settled down. She could stop and say, you know what? I want to be the mother that the Bible says a mother should be. She came through for me. She got on a plane and she came to my house. She packed me up. She put me in my van and we cruised to Texas together. And on that way to Texas, we got to know each other and we reconciled and we had conversations and we had the most greatest time traveling from Texas to Georgia. Or vice versa. Wow. So it's never too late, y'all. If you've given up on your mother and you're a child, if you've given up on your mother because she didn't do the right thing at one time, don't give up. Don't give out. Don't give in. Mothers are real people too. Just give her another chance. And vice versa too, right? Vice versa. So we got to know each other. I am the prodigal son. And I thank my mother for it. And she would be proud of me, like my sister said 12 years ago. And I am so grateful that I was asked to speak a little bit about what the Bible says about mothers and to show my mother off a little bit. You have a mother too. Anybody listening to my voice right now does not have a mother? Say amen. Oh, yeah. Oh, you're an alien. You're an alien. You have no mother. Okay. Let me rephrase that question. Everybody been born of a woman? And listen to me. Hold on. Since y'all didn't do it, I'm going to do it. Amen, preacher. Amen. Somebody got to do it. I'm going to close with this. I'm in women's close for the fourth time. Well, listen, the Apostle Paul in Philippians, he closed four times. I asked a bunch of mothers down at the mission. We do a lot of mission work for mothers and children without fathers. I asked them what some of the characteristics were. Here's the home. Loving, caring, great attitude, understanding, godly, very accepting, made the best food in the world, encouraging, honesty, motivated, giving, helpful, and unselfish. Praise the Lord for mothers. And maybe you don't do a lot of these things. So what? Keep on doing what you're doing. Come on, try. Keep on trying. God has not given up on you. God never gave up on you. So keep on doing the right thing if you're doing the right thing. You know what? You could have the best mother in the world. And I did. And I said, well, there goes her name. But if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, what good is it to own the whole world and lose your own soul? Today is the day of salvation. Why isn't tomorrow the day? Why isn't tomorrow the day of salvation? Put your hand over your heart right now. How fast? It's beating pretty fast. Mine's beating real fast. It's going to stop one day. And hopefully, when it does stop, you'll stand before the Lord because of your faith in Christ. You've been born again. Oh, yeah, by the way, you have to be born again to enter the kingdom of heaven. Huh? How do I get into a mother's womb for a second time? Spiritually reborn. Repent and believe. Repent and believe. Today is the day of salvation. If you've never come to know the Lord, now is the time. I know the Lord, preacher, but yes, we're all like sheep. Do you want to know him better? Come on back to the fold. The shepherd always shouts to the sheep. The sheep, real sheep, even though they've strayed away, hear his voice and they come to him. So if you need to get closer to the Lord, you need to make a confession, you need to pray with someone, we're going to have prayer people here today. And before you leave, get your roses, get your flowers. The people that won the gifts, go ahead and come up here and get your gifts. Please stop by my table. If you don't have a donation for a CD or anything we have for sale there, take one for free. Will you do that? So turn to your neighbor and say, I've been blessed by my mom. Father, thank you for the opportunity to bring the word through my flaws and my shortcomings and all the rest. I hope that the word was spoken through the scriptures on what a godly mother is, and I hope I didn't, with my excitement and personality, didn't overshadow that, and sometimes it does, I know. But I want to encourage mothers today. I want to encourage them to be all that they can be. And if they have some areas in their life that need changing, I always say, we all need changing. We all need to be transformed and conformed into your image. Help us to do that. Empower us by your Spirit, that we can do and go anywhere you tell us to go and do. So, Father, conform us, guide us, direct us, but most importantly, empower us and conform us into the image of your perfect Son. How worthy is the Lamb to be slain. We ask it in Jesus' name. And all of God's children said, thank y'all for listening.